Hey, let's go a little old school this morning. God is good. Man, and all the time. If you feel like you're out of the loop on that one, that's okay. You are welcome here as well. We just love Jesus. Hey, if we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Tony, and my wife and I are the lead pastors here at Legacy. We want to welcome you this morning, especially if you are our visitor this morning. One of the things we like to say around here is that we hope you don't feel like just any old visitor, but like you are our guest. That's right. And so if you're visiting us for the first time, or maybe you've never filled out a Connect card, can you do us a favor? Fill one out. It's going to be located in the seat back in front of you. We'd love to touch base with you this week. In fact, we're going to talk about this over the next few weeks, but we've got a brand new Connect team of people that's actually going to walk you through how to get plugged in to the house of God. And so it's not going to be just like an automated email. You're going to actually hear from like a person. And so, because we love people around here. The rest of you, you already know what I'm about to say. Your family, so welcome home. If you have been with us over the last few weeks, you know that we're in the middle of our yearly series on our vision and our mission. And if you're new to us or been checking us out, I just want to let you know, we're all about three things around here. We love and follow Jesus. Come on, we love and we serve people. And we carry the greatest message, which is that, the hope for all people. And last week, we talked about what it is to build our lives on Jesus, right? We've been talking over the last few weeks what it is to grow in Jesus, to lay down roots in Jesus, and now to how to actually build a life on Jesus. And today, I've got a message that is actually very near and dear to my heart, but more than my heart, I think it's near and dear to God's heart, and that is this, is we're going to learn how we actually love and serve people. And the reason why I believe this message is near and dear to God's heart is because Jesus came for people. Because God, by the way, have you ever stopped to think, like, God was chilling in all his glory, you know, he's got his kingdom. He didn't have to create the mess of people, but he did, right? And then when people fell flat on their faces, he goes, hey, I won't leave you there. I'll provide a way for you to actually be rescued and saved from yourself. So at the heart of God are people, which is, if you're wondering what we're all about, man, I'm just going to tell you right now, no secret, we're about people. We love people, and we want to be a people that know how to love and serve people really, really well. Before we open to today's scripture, I just want to tell you this. Approximately 7 years ago, my wife and I were hired on here at Legacy as the associate pastors, knowing that we would be transitioning into the lead role a few years after that. How many of y'all were here back in the day? You know, literally, look at how many new people there are around here. You know, y'all remember that was back when we were in that, you know, room where the kids meet now. And the first sermon that I ever preached was actually out of the same scripture that I'm going to read to us today. And it's kind of become probably, I don't know if it's okay for pastors to say this, but it's become almost my favorite passage of scripture, because I think it depicts the heart of God for his people. So with that being said, would you stand to your feet in honor of God's word this morning? We're going to read out of the book of Mark, chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. If you don't have a Bible, there's one underneath your seat, and that's for you to take home. If not, you can also follow along with the sky bowl behind me today. It says this, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Look at this. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room. Say with me, no more room. Even outside the door. These are important details. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. It says they couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they turned around and walked away. Now, are you following with me? No. I got some of y'all. No, it says, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith. That's important. Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers, come on, how many of you guys know that haters are going to hate? Some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately that what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Verse 12, the man jumped up. Come on. He grabbed his mat. He walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. If you're new to us, you're going, why do you stand and sit, stand and sit? Well, that's because most of you have skipped leg day all week when we're trying to help you out. How many of you, when you know you've got to organize, say, a room, or maybe your garage, or maybe a shop, you can't get to organizing unless you first empty it out completely? Are you anything like me? I just reminded some of you that your garage is a mess and that the HOA hates it every time you leave it open. But how many of you know that it's oftentimes difficult to reorganize something if you don't first make room for it, right? I have found that every time I create space or room, new perspective comes my way. New creativity comes my way. If we're going to talk about people, I want to let you know that no matter how big, how small, how in between this church is and or gets, we will always be a people that wants to make room for more people to hear the greatest message of hope for all people. Can I get an amen? Amen. And what we know is this, is that if we intentionally make room for others, not just for ourselves, we know that our perspective will stay fresh. We know that our creativity will stay fresh. But most importantly, we know that our perspective of God and his love for people will remain fresh. Why is it so important for us to talk about this today? Well, because I want to talk directly to the heart of the culture of our church. And that is this. I don't know about you, but have you noticed that we're in an exciting season as a church? Yeah. Have you noticed that God's doing some miraculous things in our midst? Come on, some of you are walking miracles right now. I mean, just this morning, first service, I'm approached by a woman. Those of you that are on the prayer team know the situation where her husband was literally fighting for her life in the hospital all week long. And she sends us a text this morning, literally, from her husband, basically saying, the only reason I'm alive is because clearly God intervened. Go tell the church thank you for showing up. The guy was on a ventilator 48 hours ago, and he's now texting and testifying of what God's done. And she's going, my husband isn't just alive physically, but he's alive spiritually. You know, there's people here right now. I'm looking at some of you today where literally last month you were considering getting a divorce, and yet now God's restoring your marriage. There are some of you that have been in relational issues that God is restoring. There are miracles, signs, wonders all around us, and we should get excited. But hear me on this. Here's the danger. Is that if we don't keep the main thing, we forget that signs, wonders, and miracles are for the unbeliever. They're meant to attract those that are far from God into the family of God. And the danger we run as a church is that in the midst of exciting things, we forget that what God's doing in our midst isn't just about us. It's something that should empower us to now go and spread this to others as well. And so here's what I have said for years, and I'm going to continue to say as long as God gives me breath and calls me to be your lead pastor. And that is this. What if we were to take the rich heritage, the legacy, if you will, of this church and what this place has to offer and intentionally increment its influence on our community, our city, and the valley? What would happen if we, instead of hoarding the message, hoarding the presence of God, hoarding the signs and wonders and miracles, that we would actually begin to take the gospel to those that are hurting, to those that are broken, come on, to those that are without hope, to those that think that their legacy is whatever their parents set them up with. But come on, we've got a God that chooses our inheritance for us. Why is this sermon so important? This is pre-sermon, by the way. I know, haven't even gotten to point one, two, or three. It's important because we know this, that every number, come on, we know this, has a name. Every name has a story. Every story matters to God, which is why they matter to us. And so if we're going to be committed to loving and serving people well, I believe this particular passage teaches us a couple things. The first one is this, is that belonging is simply the beginning, not the destination. Can I tell you that belonging to the family of God is simply the beginning of your journey with Jesus? It ain't the end all. Now, it's good to belong. Come on. He places the lonely into family. How many of you are grateful for that? Right? How many of you are grateful for the local gathering where you're not just wandering about and doing kind of your own thing, but you can get people to pray with you, for you. You can journey with people. Come on, anybody out there? Come on, second service. Belonging is simply the beginning. It's not the end all. I want to tell it to you this way. Do not be satisfied with merely being part of the in crowd and forget to pursue the deeper purpose and mission of God in your life. Mark 2, again, 1 to 2. Let's go back to the very beginning of this scripture we read. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. And look at this. It says, soon the house where he was staying was so packed. It was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. If you continue to read on into verse 6, you'll notice that it says that teachers of the religious law, which, by the way, so there weren't just visitors, but the majority of those, if you read this scripture within context and even in the original language, it's actually going to teach you that the majority of the people in that house, hear me, were already insiders. They already knew about who Jesus was. They were, in fact, most of them were teachers of the law there to test what Jesus was teaching. Can you imagine a church, a place where Jesus is at, but it is so full of insiders that there is no room for the broken and the paralyzed to ever have space to come in and meet with him? May we never be that, Legacy Church. You see, the heart of our church is that none of you, none of us, would ever be satisfied by merely going, well, I'm finally part of the in crowd. I've come to offend somebody today. Are you ready? Come on. Legacy Church, you all look really good every Sunday.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You all dress to impress every Sunday. But let me tell you this, I could care less about your best Sunday dress, your best Sunday fit, if your heart for the broken, the hurting, the paralyzed, the marginalized has grown cold and detached.
That's right.
Like, you all look really good, you guys. You do. You show up. Some people are vibing with their thrifted fits. You know, hey, where'd you get it? Remember, by the way, isn't it cool that, like, that the things that those of us that grew up poor had to do is now the cool thing to do? Come on, parents. Anybody grateful? I'm like, thrifting is now the cool thing to do. Like, you know, back in my day, it was like, you don't tell anybody you got it at Goodwill. You know what I'm saying? Anybody? You know? And so some of you are looking at me like, no, I've never thrifted in my life. Okay, well, get some perspective. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But hear me on this. This house was packed full of insiders, and they were too busy trying to get more of Jesus to notice the obvious need right outside their doors. We are a presence-driven church. We are lovers of his presence. I am not contradicting the last 6 months of our sermon series on his presence, the Holy Spirit, and worship. But what I am saying is that the risk we run being a presence-driven church is that we show up on a Sunday gathering wanting more of Jesus, and we forget that the infilling is also supposed to overflow with an outflowing. May we not be so busy in getting our fill of Jesus and ignore that right outside these doors there are broken, paralyzed, outcasted people that need to be let in. You see, if we aren't careful, we will constantly be attracted to what's comfortable. Do you want to know what's comfortable? What's known. And so, by the way, this sermon today is not ethereal, it's practical. So let me put some practicality to it. On a Sunday morning, here's what happens, and I see it. And that's why, as the father of this house, I'm going to bring some correction to you, okay? We get so comfortable with our inner circle of the people that we hang with in the lobby that we forget that there's brand new people that need even just an introduction. So, but Tony, I love seeing my friends. Let me just kindly tell you, you have 6 days a week to see your friends. Can I tell somebody that? Let me tell this side of the, you got 6 days a week to see your friends. You got 6 days a week to see your friends. Can I just kindly ask you, the lobby on a Sunday is for you to welcome in the stranger and make them feel like they're at home. It ain't for you to hang with your buds and catch up. And you're going, Tony, you're getting mighty practical. Where is this in the Bible? I'm going to get to hospitality in the Bible, but I want to tell you 9 times out of 10 hospitality in Scripture is about welcoming in the stranger, not your homie. And so if we aren't careful, the church quickly becomes ingrown and inward focused, and it's me and my buds. And by the way, absolutely, have relationships, have friendships, be a family, but remember that there are orphans out there that need to be welcomed into the family. One of the things I want you to get in your spirit today is this, is in this house, there is no us versus them. There's just people. And every person needs the same hope that can only be found in Jesus. So here's one of the things. Can I talk to you openly today, by the way? Can I? Like, okay. And you know, I hope you know that my stance, especially towards like other churches, is number one, I'm not qualified to be like, oh, you know what the problem with the big C church is? I hate when pastors get up there. I'm like, who qualified you to be the one that casts judgment on every church? But so what I'm going to say is this, is my concern at times with local churches is that we're more interested in building country clubs than we are movements of God. And so a country club is like, we all dress the same, look the same, talk the same. And unless you fit into that, you ain't welcome. And then we forget that at the heart of God are paralyzed people. Like this man whose friends, come on, how many of y'all know you need some good friends that are willing to do whatever it takes, which is my second point here in just a second. But here's what has bothered me and concerned me about the state of the church at times is when I meet with pastors, when I meet with leaders, and they say things like this. Well, we shouldn't be so evangelistic when we aren't ready to disciple people yet. My concern is this, is that Jesus' discipleship program, his graduation was being sent. So if you consider discipleship you just gaining knowledge and sitting at the feet of Jesus, you've sold discipleship short. Because discipleship should lead you to being empowered and equipped to now go out and reach other people. Jesus didn't go, all right, guys, after my 3 years of hanging with me, now just hang with one another. What did he say? Go! But you know what we do? We go to church and we hang with our friends and we only talk to our friends. And then those that are finally brave enough to invite somebody in, there's no one there to actually welcome them because we're too busy hanging with our friends. Am I getting a little too practical in Meridian, Idaho on a Sunday morning? Okay. Being an insider isn't the goal. Transformation is the goal. And we will not be transformed if we are simply satisfied by, I'm in. Which leads me to my second point today, and that is this. We're being called to roll up our sleeves. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, roll up your sleeves. Hey, you know what? At youth camp, by the way, if you're wondering what kind of church we are, there's a little bit of swagger to us. Come on. You know, and so at youth camp, there was this theme, and then at our kids' back-to-school worship night, there was this theme of, like, lace up your boots, right? And you guys have heard the song, lace up your boots, hey. Put on your backpack, right? Okay, we get down to it, and our youth are like, oh, yeah, you know. Can I tell you, yes, lace up your boots, put on your backpack, but also roll up your sleeves, hey. Be willing to do whatever it takes for the lost. Okay? So here's, some of you are like, oh my gosh, Pastor, don't ever do that again, please. But But I've come to tell somebody today, following Jesus is not supposed to be easy. I'm going to say it again. Following Jesus is not supposed to be easy. Following Jesus is not supposed to be comfortable. Following Jesus is not me marinating on mediocrity. Following Jesus is not me choosing my preferences over his purposes. Why do you say that, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Mark 2:2-4 says, soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, look at this, four men carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus. Watch this. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. And look at this. There are some of us that were like, well, Tony, like, I've tried, like, welcoming people. I've tried inviting my neighbors, and it just didn't work. And so we give up. And here's the simple revelation from God to you today. If at first you don't succeed, quit giving up and try again. You know what the word of God would teach us here is this, is that because they couldn't get him to Jesus, they didn't give up. It says they dug a hole through the roof above his head. They're like, dude, if I've got to make a way, somehow I'm going to make a way. And you know what that meant for them, by the way? Roofs weren't made out of shingles and plywood. And I'm talking mud and feces and hay. And now that I got a farm, I'm telling you, the mixture of mud, feces, and hay is not something I want to be like. Hear me on this. Hear me on this. Please, church. We've got to be willing to get undignified. We've got to be willing to roll up our sleeves. It ain't just lace up your boots. Hey, right? It's I roll up my sleeves. And hear me on this. Short of sinning, we're going to do whatever it takes to make a way for those that are paralyzed spiritually, emotionally, paralyzed by their past, can be brought to the feet of Jesus. This is going to require perseverance. Say with me, perseverance. Perseverance. It's almost become a cuss word in modern Christianity. Because we love to create gatherings, but I'm not so sure that we're equipping saints to be perseverant in their faith. My concern is this, my friend, is that in this local church, that we not raise, hear me, fickle, fragile, and fleeting faith kind of Christians. Where we're flash in the pan one moment, we're hot the next day. The moment we face resistance, we're lukewarm. We give up. We throw in the towel. Come on, as long as things are being answered and the prayers that we want answered and the way we want, we're all in. But come on, what happened to a people of God that are willing to persevere even when there seems to be no way? Charles Spurgeon says, perseverance is the badge of a true saint. The Christian life is not a beginning only in the ways of God, but also a continuance in the same as long as life lasts. I don't know if that's hopeful to somebody or helpful to somebody or maybe discouraging to somebody, but come on, old saints in the room, isn't that the truth? Perseverance with Jesus is a continuous thing, right? So it's not just time for us to lace up our boots. It's time for us to roll up our sleeves. My friend, I've come to tell you that there are many around you in your workplace, in your families, in your city, in your neighborhoods, whose hearts are broken, whose circumstances have paralyzed them, whose past has paralyzed them, where they have no ability to move on. And God is calling you and I to be willing to get our hands dirty, even if it doesn't look pretty, roll up our sleeves and do whatever it takes to bring in the lost to the feet of Jesus. I'm going to get more practical. What is that cost? That cost is our time. That cost will be our money. That cost is our comfort. And you know what's interesting? I've been in full-time ministry for 17 years. My dad, I was privileged to have grown up in the mission field. My dad is a church planter, and I've seen a lot, heard a lot, and praise be to God, I don't know it all, okay? But there's one thing that I've noticed in church patterns is when it comes to our time and our money, it's almost like, especially Americans, they don't want to talk about it. It's the idol, no, you're going to manipulate me into giving, you're going to manipulate, and it's like this idol that we hold up. But I've watched the new idol shift from time and money to, hear me, comfort. Some of you have no problem going, yeah, I'll give of my time. I'll give of my money. I'll give of my effort as long as it's comfortable. The moment I get uncomfortable, I'm out. The moment I'm stretched, the moment I'm pushed, the moment I'm going to choose my, and hear me on this, if we aren't careful with our comfort and our idolization of comfort, we now move on from comfort to our preference. And so now our preferences are elevated above our purposes. And God would tell you right now, I want to just tell you, you're being called to choose his purpose over your preferences. We are not called to our comfort. We are called to character development. Come on. Write this down, because note takers are world changers. And we aren't called to mediocrity. We're called to mission. Come on. Here's what the word of the Lord is for some of you today. Because I haven't offended you enough, so I'm going to push a little more. When we create fickle, fragile, fleeting faith kind of Christians, we create the kind of Christians that marinate in their mediocrity. And God would call you to move out of that and into the mission that he has for you. Come on, I'm telling you, there's nothing greater than joining the mission of God. So more than a challenge, hear me on this. Today, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to join into the mission of God that he has had to restore humanity. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. But how will we reconcile people to their creator if we aren't around them? How many of you would say, I want more addictions broken? I want more marriages restored. I want more generations changed forever. We will see that when a people of God recognize they're being called into partnership with a miracle-working God. I want to read to you. I don't have it on the screen, so I'm going to read it to you first out of the New Living Translation. Then I think on the screen we have the message, which is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase on Romans 12. I want to read this to you, Romans 12:11. It says this. By the way, if you aren't offended by me yet, be offended by the words of the Apostle Paul. Ready for this? Never be lazy. Yeah, let's pray it out, Ricky. I think that's good, bro. Can you close? Come on. Never be lazy. I'm going after our comfort. But work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. This is how the message paraphrase would say, don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and inflamed. Be alert servants of the master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Come on, church, can we roll up our sleeves? If you know anything about us, and I know this is a vision and mission series of our church, but also I don't think it's isolated to just our church, because we didn't just come up with this. This is Bible, okay? But we've got five values here at our church. We are faithful to God's word. We are presence-driven. We are radically hospitable. We are uncommonly generous, and we value everybody. But here's what I know to be true, is that missions, visions, values can oftentimes only be seen as, well, that's the leadership's job to carry that out. The invitation and the encouragement for us all today is that these things will only remain as aspired visions, missions, and values as long as you consider them the mission that has to be carried out by the leadership of this house only. So the invitation for you today is, would you roll up your sleeves and join the mission that this God has given this house, and you be radically hospitable. You be uncommonly generous. You be faithful and a presence driven. And you place value on all people. Come on, can we do this together, church? There's an entire community begging to be reached. And they'll be reached not with aspired, cute values that are on a cool LED wall and a good stage with good music and a half decent communicator and some decent child care. By the way, we don't call it child care, we call it kids church for a reason. There's a reason why they literally do live worship. I don't know if you guys know this, by the way, but we do live worship there led by youth every Sunday for kids. We preach the word. It's not no junior Holy Spirit, it's a taste and see, and we're going to believe that those seeds that are sown into the next generation are going to bear much fruit. Can I get an amen from second service on that? But here's what I want to say with all this is I'm not calling you to just grin and bear it. Okay, Romans says don't be lazy, so don't be lazy. Right? It's not just like, okay, well, I guess I got to serve enthusiastically, because people will be able to feel that. Okay? Like when it's not an overflow of your heart, hear me on this. I believe this is why Eugene Peterson uses the word don't burn out. By the way, if you want to know my biggest pet peeve, one of my biggest pet peeves in ministry is when people are like, I'm just burnt out. And it's not that I want to disrespect that. It's that most of the time when people experience burnout, it's because one, they're serving out of the wrong motive, or two, they're not fueling and fanning a flame like Romans tells us to do it. And so then now it becomes leadership's fault that they're burnt out. But in reality, it's on us to keep ourselves fueled and aflamed. It's on us to keep our hearts aligned to the heart of God. Okay, if you don't believe me, I know I'm meddling, and that's okay. That's why I'm here. Proverbs 11:25 says that the generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will they themselves be refreshed. Amen. So as I serve, as I roll up my sleeves, as I love and serve people well, man, there's something that happens inside of me that refuels me. It refreshes me. Can I get an amen from somebody this morning? Amen. Let me break this down practically. Have you ever found shopping carts in the parking lot before? Just like out loose, How many of you have grabbed those and like put them back where they belong? Come on, it's okay to tell your right hand what your left hand's doing today because I'm giving you permission. Right? It's okay, brag on yourself a little bit, okay? Some of you are being convicted because you're the person that doesn't put the carts back. Do not be rolling out of the Walmart and Winco parking lot with that Legacy Church sticker after you've left your cart out there. Come on. Some of you haven't taken a bumper sticker because you're like, oh no, you don't want me advertising our church. And I'm going, oh no, you need this bumper sticker more than the drivers need them. But have you ever been that person that puts it back? After you put the cart back. Now you're walking back to the car. Hey babe, did you see that? No, I was busy putting the kids in. You should have been helping me. Okay. Is that just me? Right? Like there's a pep in your step. I just did something good. Have you ever helped maybe, let's say, a disabled person or somebody like an older generation person, like an old lady cross the street? Ever like, come on, some of y'all need to help some people out. But man, you help them cross the street. You're almost like your chest is a little higher, your chin's up a little higher. What I'm trying to say is I've yet to meet someone who serves people and does not be refreshed as a result, does not get refreshed as a result. Where the result of giving of ourselves should result in us going, man, this is awesome. And I want to create a parenthesis. There are some of you that have been used and abused and manipulated into a kind of quote-unquote service that is not healthy. And what I want to tell you is, would you be willing to get brave enough to believe that God can heal and restore your soul and heal and restore those wounds? Because he doesn't want you to stay wounded and hurt. He wants you to serve him enthusiastically. And if somebody came to rob you of your enthusiasm, I just believe the word of the Lord for you is there's going to be a new revived refreshment in you coming upon you. You're going to get healed from those wounds, and you're going to be able to look the enemy in the eye and go, what you meant for evil, God's turning for good. That which was my wound is now going to become a story of God's healing in my life. That which was supposed to take me out is now God's mercy. And guess what, enemy? I'm one of his trophies up on his trophy room of grace and mercy. Come on. Thank you for the golf clap. That's great, you guys. We're almost done. kind of. Some of you did not believe that. That was my intro. You're right. Third and final point. We're going to land the plane soon. Miracles follow movement. Miracles follow movement. The last thing we're wanting to build is a stagnant church. I don't want you to compare to other churches. I don't want you to compare to previous experiences, but many of us know what it's like to walk into a place where you go, do they even believe God is who he says he is? You know, we've been in environments like that, right, where it's like, okay, I'm checking my box. It's Sunday, so the preacher better not go long because I've got brunch plans, and I better hear something that really lifts me up and encourages me, and the band better play songs that I really like, and my kids better not be hyped up on sugar when I get them out from kids' church. And it's like, what would happen if we actually created an atmosphere, hear me, where rather than checking off a box, we had an expectation of what could God do? Come on, what would happen if as a community, every time we gathered in his name, whether that's in small groups during the week, whether that's at Rooted on Tuesdays and Saturdays, whether that's on a Sunday morning, we showed up and there was a little bit of a, ooh, what's God gonna do today? Like, Lord, I can't wait for you to do something. But that won't happen, hear me on this, that won't happen with a stagnant monument. And we are not called to a stagnant monument. We are called to build a movement. Mark 2:5 says that seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. You know what is interesting to me is that miracles don't just follow movement, but what's more important is that Jesus is attracted to movement. If you don't believe me, just look at the Gospels. And go home and study all the miracles that Jesus performed. And watch that there's a pattern. And the common pattern is this. Not that it's an equation, it's a pattern. And that pattern is this, is that it always took some sort of act of faith from a human. Come on, water into wine. Go and get me some jugs. Fill them with water and bring them here. He didn't just go, wine. There was participation. Come on, Old Testament. 2 Kings, the widow that needed oil. Go and ask for vases and vessels from your neighbor. It required action on her behalf. The woman with the issue of blood, she's the one that reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Right? If you look at the miracles of Jesus, why? Because he's attracted and he's inviting us into a partnership with him. Charles Spurgeon would say it to us this way, work as if it all depends on you, but pray as if it all depends on God. Come on, can we be a people that go, yes, God, we will partner with you. Yes, God, we will roll up our sleeves. Yes, God, we will not remain stagnant. We will be a movement that expects great things from a great God. Come on, I know it's second service, but I'm about to get a little preachy and a little charismatic with you today. Come on, I am sick of people not expecting great things from a great God. Come on, miraculous things from a miracle-working God, supernatural things from a supernatural God. Come on, we got to expect him to do what is in his character to do. And if it's in his character to never change, and so we read of a God who healed, we read of a God who restored, we read of a God that showed up with signs, wonders, miracles. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then we got to expect him and take him at his word to do what he said he would do. Amen? And here's the result of this, and we see it. We see it. It's amazing. The result of their faith began to grow the kingdom of God. So these four guys, their faith, hear me on this, not only now heals this man, Jesus not only heals him, not only saves him, but now it says that everyone that was around was in awe, bringing glory to God. All because these four guys said, roll up our sleeves. Tear the roof off. I wonder what is hanging in the balance of the yes in our hearts for people today. I wonder what is on the other side of our obedience today. I didn't get a chance to share this because I ran out of time first service, but I want to share it with you second service. About 10, 11 years ago, my wife and I were probably in the most hopeless situation we've ever faced. Some of you know that more recently we've been dealing with some things with our daughter's health. Not even that compares to the hopelessness that we were experiencing about 10 years ago. And we had some big decisions to make. Those decisions related to, and I'll just be honest with you, do we stay married or not? And I remember that a good friend of mine, who we see once a year, twice a year now, because we've all gone and followed our ministry calls in different states, but we always stay close and we see each other. We have a reunion every year. He met with me at the worst coffee shop ever. I'm not even going to say the name of it, but can't believe it came to Idaho, too. It's disgusting. I'm like, dude, this is the Pacific. This was back in Vancouver, Washington. I'm like, this is the Pacific Northwest. There should be a better coffee shop than this nasty place. That's neither here nor there. Anyway, let's go back to the story. So we sit there, and, you know, I'm telling him what we're going through and the decisions we got to make and just the hopelessness that we're experiencing. And to add to it, I'm like, we're in ministry, so all eyes are on us. You got the added pressure of that. And I'm like, man. And he looked me in the eye, and he goes, I think the Lord will lead you. The only piece of advice I've got to give you, Tony, is you need to consider what's hanging in the balance of your decision. And I'm not saying that what God's doing here today is a direct result of just me. But I wonder if I hadn't said yes to the Lord then, what would happen to the call of my family, to my children, and then ultimately with how God's using us here to do things through us, through all of us together. And I just want to challenge some of you in the room today that have maybe bypassed James chapter 2 that says that our faith without deeds is dead, and ask you, where do you need to take action in your faith with God? What's hanging in the balance of your yes? And here's spoiler alert. In God, in His will, it's always people that are hanging in the balance. It's generations to come. It's new believers to come. It's what would happen if a group of people actually believed that God is who He says He is, and He can actually take the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and He actually invites us into the movement that He's trying to stir up in our hearts. And I would just say this, my friend, my challenge to us today is let's make His priorities our priority. And I'm going to begin to wrap up with this. In the midst of reaching people, in the midst of loving people, I just want to just reiterate for some of you that may already know this, and for some of you this may be new, God will always take care of proving Himself real. Okay? We actually see here at the end of this segment of scripture that we've read that the man jumped up, verse 12, grabbed his mat and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. What I'm trying to say to you is this, is you don't have to take on the burden of trying to convince people of who God is. Right. It's simply on us to create an atmosphere where people are invited to meet with God, and God will be faithful to prove Himself real in their lives. I'm telling you, God takes care of proving Himself. I think it was Ashley that said this when she was sharing here after Camp Sunday. She said the Word of God doesn't need defending. It just opens up and it roars for itself. Jesus doesn't need you to have to go and defend Him. He's defending Himself by who He is. He's going to show Himself real in the lives of people. And here's what I want to go with this, is I want you to understand this. The faith of these four men not only impacted the life of this paralyzed man that was healed, but look at how it impacted an entire community. people will notice and they'll experience something they've never experienced before when you and I roll up our sleeves and partner with God in bringing in those that are lost and broken into the fold of his house. So, that's my sermon. Sometimes sermons end with this perfect little reflective time and we pray. Other times, I've got to also like go, that's the sermon, and now as the father of the house, I got to talk to us as a church. Is that okay? Yeah. You can give me 3 minutes just to talk to us real quick. What does this look like practically for us? Well, last Sunday, we had our quarterly all leaders meeting. Over 100 leaders that lead this place, small group leaders, team leaders, youth leaders, kids church leaders. I mean, it's just amazing. It was an amazing time. How many of you small group leaders or leaders that were here, right, would attest that it was a beautiful time, and especially a time in his presence towards the end. We didn't want to end. We were just worshiping at his feet, and it was beautiful. But one of the things that we talked about at that meeting is that part of what God is inviting us into is also stewarding the people that are here. Yes. So you're here, and your friends are here, and your family's coming, and you've got neighbors that you're inviting, and we do need to be responsible as to how do we practically steward the people of God. How do we very clearly go, hey, here's how you get added to the family. Here's how now you're rooted in the house. Here's how you're discipled and equipped. This is how you're sent out of these four walls. And that doesn't always mean going out to missions, but it might be. But missions being the street that you live on, the school that you go to, the workplace, you know, but go and be a leader. And so part of that is this, is we're beginning to roll out. Over the last 3 months, we've been working behind the scenes on what we've called Pathway to Partnership. It's something that we're going to roll out officially to you here very, very soon as we continue to get our ducks in a row. I'm going to give you a little preview of it. Essentially, you might be asking, what's Pathway to Partnership? Well, partnership is what we've chosen as the verbiage over what most churches might call like membership. And the reason for that, and up until now, we haven't necessarily had like a formal membership process here. Part of it is because we were just trying to run to catch up to the growth. You know, we just went from this to that very quickly. And we're like, okay, God, we got to catch up, you know. Part of that is the stewardship process of how do we do this well. And part of the reason why membership isn't necessarily the verbiage that we want to align ourselves to is because membership kind of implies that I pay dues and then I demand benefits, right? And so, like, and someone else has to take care of stuff for me. Like, I pay my membership dues to my gym. And every time that bathroom is dirty, I text the gym owner. And I go, yo, come clean this bathroom. I pay good money to not have to, you know, look at that. You know, I'm not mean like that, but you know what I mean. Right? If there's something that's out of order, I see it and I go, yeah, somebody else is going to get it because I pay them to do it. Right? That's, you know, you pay a membership for a country club. Right? A partnership is we've got a united vision that we together take ownership of and we want to see fulfilled. And so we're going to roll that out, but as the first step, and today you may have known that today is what we're calling Rooted Sunday. Part of it is because instead of doing a normal response where we pray, we take communion, we're actually going to keep these doors closed and just open up the West parking lot at the end of today's service. And you're going to go out there and you're going to meet our Rooted facilitators. In a second, we're going to listen to a testimony video on Rooted, but we're going to do 3 things. Number one, even if you've already been through Rooted before, or you're like already established in this house, part of what we're doing is literally forcing you to go to a very small space today to go meet some people that you wouldn't otherwise meet in the lobby. Yes. Like, I told you this was going to be a practical sermon today. So I'm not telling you this is like a spiritual theory thing. No, we're going to go together and go, hey, I sit in that section of the church, and you sit in that section of church. I've never walked over and introduced myself. You're going to have that opportunity over there because it's going to be a close quarter, okay? Some of you are getting so anxious, and I'm getting so excited about it. Perhaps you have questions about Rooted. Our Rooted team of facilitators is going to be out there to talk to you about that. What's really exciting about this round of Rooted is we're offering 2 sessions because of the need, great need to get people in through it. Tuesday night, which has childcare. Saturday morning doesn't offer childcare. But Saturday morning, we've got some phenomenal, come on, Tyson and Colleen, can you raise your hand? Tyson and Colleen, go out. They're actually going to be leading a youth session of Rooted as well. So these are our youth leaders. These are phenomenal youth leaders that just like, and so what we're going to do is in a second here, I'm going to pray, and I am going to invite, the prayer teams are going to stay here, and they're going to hang out on the wings, because we never want you to go a Sunday without, if you need prayer, you can come up for prayer. But when I dismiss, we're going to go out to the West parking lot, and I want you to just meet people. I want you to, if you've never been through Rooted, I want you to ask questions. If you've already signed up for Rooted, I want you to go and introduce yourself to the facilitator so that they also can put a face to the name on like the registration. Because come on, we need to have the face to the name, right? And here's what I want to say as I close is, church, God is not calling you to just simply be another face in the crowd or another person in a seat. God's calling all of us to partner with him and with one another in together living out the mission that he's called us into. And I'm telling you, there is no better place to do that than in the local church, where we are equipped, where we are loved, where we are refined, where we can gather and celebrate, and we can, hear me, support one another on this journey. Amen? So, Father, I thank you so much for these people. I thank you for what you're doing in this place. I thank you because what you're doing here at Legacy isn't isolated to just Legacy. I hear of churches all over the valley experiencing not just numerical growth, but just an increase of saying yes to the mission of God, to go and we're going to go after the valley. We're going to go after the lost. We're going to invite them in, and we're going to see life transformation and healing and miracles, and the move of God is going to continue to be stewarded well by your local churches here. So, Father, I pray today, would you stir up our affections for one another? I pray, Lord, that we would be those that don't just hear your word, but actually live out your word. Help us to love and serve one another and those that have yet to come well. In Jesus' name we pray.